you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Your Ben Jarofsky Show for Thursday, July 8th is brought to you by SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, the Chicago Teachers Union, our sponsors now, and Chicago Reader, chicagoreader.com for all things that there is to know the city of Chicago, where to go, what to do, what to eat, what to drink, what kind of pot to smoke, and so much more. Go check it out. Chicago Reader, chicagoreader.com. Subscribe. And if you want to help out this program, you can. chicagoreader.com/Jarofsky, J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y. There you can become a binhead. Find out more information, chicagoreader.com. It is Thursday, July 8th, and live from my apartment and his attic, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Today on the program, it's all things the previous city council meeting with Mr. Bike, Mr. City Council, Mr. Good Looking, Dave Gloetz. And now your host, Mr. Decent Looking, Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. Just call me Good Looking Ben. Yes, we're Benny J. Good Looking. Nobody's ever called me good looking before. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? Sorry.
You are good looking. Here, look at this mirror. Oh, my God, you broke it.
Okay. Where was I? Oh, yes. We're calling this Joe Meets MAGA Thursday, and here's why. Joey B was in Crystal Lake yesterday. He was in and out. I think he was there for about an hour. That's the plane landing. That's the car driving to Crystal Lake. That's the speech. Car.
No, I have a speech. This was a speech.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Really?
The phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
D, it's very important the kids hear words, all right? How many times have I told you that?
Go Bulls! Huh? I love Tony Kukoc.
Oh, God. Thank goodness he didn't get it mixed up and say, go Bucks. I know he was in like Northern Illinois, so he got all mixed up. Anyway, come on. No more Joe Biden jokes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. He was in Crystal Lake. That's McHenry County. Also known as MAGA country. As in, we love Donnie Trump and hate anyone who doesn't love Donnie Trump and don't care about anything other than utter devotion and dedicated to all things Trump. And so if you don't begin each day by dropping to your knees and swearing an oath of allegiance to Donald Trump, we hate you too. And that is the crew Joe Biden is trying to win over with his infrastructure bill. Good luck to President Joe. By the way, Dave Gloetz has joined us. I'm always delighted to report that our guest is here early. And he has his sound turned down. So you're not going to hear like any embarrassing tweaks and phone calls that he gets because he's a professional. Where was I? Oh, yes. Joe Biden's strategy. We call it the Monroe Doctrine. So named for Monroe Anderson. Legendary Chicago columnist who appears in the show every Wednesday, generally to gently or not so gently remind me how wrong I was to endorse Bernie Sanders and how right he was to vote for Joe Biden in the Democratic primary last year. Monroe's position is that if Biden hits the road from time to time to visit MAGA land, he can remind the MAGAites of all the good things he's done for them, despite all the nasty things they say about him. And so that eventually they will reward him with their votes. Good luck with that, Joe. So essentially, the plan is to appeal to the reasonable side of hardcore ideologues to convince them to change their minds and behavior. Well, this will make an interesting case study. By chance, Biden's visit to Crystal Lake occurred on the day, a very sad day in Chicago, that three undercover law enforcement officers were shot on the south side of Chicago. Thankfully, none of them were killed, both all injured. One was a Chicago police officer. Two others were federal agents. Biden did not mention these officers in the speech he read at Crystal Lake. Instead, he did not deviate from the prepared text about his infrastructure plan and how it was going to bring benefits to MAGA-land. I can absolutely guarantee you folks that his not mentioning those three officers who were shot will absolutely positively be the main takeaway MAGA's media outlets like Fox take away from this visit. Here and now, he did not even mention the officers. MAGA has a curious attitude when it comes to police officers. When it comes to police officers who patrol the streets of cities filled with black people, they support them 100%. Blue lives matter. But when it comes to the lives of police officers who guard the U.S. Capitol from attack by Trump supporters fired up by too much Trump, then they hit him over the head with hockey sticks and fire extinguishers and spray them with pepper spray and call them pussies. Yes, don't believe me? It's in the footage, folks. By the way, who the hell brings a hockey stick to a rally? I still can't figure that one. So anyway, cops are always good unless they're protecting people from enraged MAGAites, then they're pussies. Like I said, it's a little confusing. Speaking of confusing, have you seen the latest critical race legislation to come out of MAGA-run state capitals? Man, things are really weird. Things are happening with the feed. I hope we're still feeding. I hope our live feed is still working. Anyway, speaking of confusing, have you seen the latest critical race legislation to come out of MAGA-run state capitals? They banned the teaching in any public school of any history class that make any member of any single group feel bad. Talk about snowflakes. It's called the Protect the Hurt Feelings of White People Act. What a challenge. Try to figure out a race-neutral way to teach the history of slavery. Do you not mention that the slave owners are white and the slaves are black? MAGA believes in the constitutionally protected liberty to say what you will, no matter how insulting it is to other people. Unless, of course, you're saying it about them. Then it's, oh, my feelings are hurt? Don't say it. I will not allow you to say it. When MAGA is done rewriting American history so it's acceptable to teach in Tennessee, it'll be black people picking on white people by hurting their feelings with references to slavery. Back to Joe and Crystal Lake, stumping for his American Families Plan. According to the Sun-Times' Lynn Sweet, the American Families Plan will immediately put money into MAGA's pocket. Here's what she wrote from today's Sun-Times. I'll now read it. In Illinois, under a program Biden signed into law, thousands of families with adjusted gross incomes of less than $150,000 will find on July 15th new money in their bank accounts. You'll get the cash, Biden said. The money will be payment of an enhanced child tax credit of between $250 and $300 for each child under the age of 17. The monthly payments will run through December. Biden wants to extend them to 2025. According to the Illinois Department of Revenue, McHenry County has more than 32,000 children under the age of 17 listed on the taxpayer returns with an adjusted income of less than $150,000. It's a lot of money in a lot of people's pockets in McHenry County, thanks to Joe Biden. So, do you think MAGA will appreciate the money that's in their pocket and turn around and vote for Joe Biden? If I know MAGA, they'll take the money and vote for Trump or some other Trump head. Sometimes it makes me wish Lori Lightfoot was president. She wouldn't try to win over MAGA. If she treated MAGA like she treats all her people in the Chicago City Council, like Jeanette Taylor, she would say, would she put it? Don't come to me for shit if you don't vote for my budget. Oh, if only the Democrats treated MAGA as harshly as they treat each other. We got a great show today, everybody. Dave Glowatz. Yes, Dave Glowatz, the man that hit the legend from Inside Government, the man who follows and tracks the Chicago City Council like nobody else is here. He's got, I think he's got five clips from recent Chicago City Council meetings. He's counting them down now. He's got to put away his bicycle bell because in his other existence, he is Mr. Bike, but we have not had a Mr. Bike conversation in ages. Instead, it's all business, all Chicago City Council. So, Dave Glowatz, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, and thank you to Dennis for facilitating.
Yes. So as we do every day when Dave Glowatz comes on the show, I wake up early and begin my day with a phone call to Glowatz, bright and early, about 5 in the morning when I rise. Just kidding.
I think that was 5 a.m. somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. No, the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, usually about 11:45. What do you got for me?
Well, today we're going to talk about... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it. He never tells me what he has specifically, so it's a surprise to me. Take it away, Dave Glowatz.
And you always want me to tell you.
Yes. It's just like, a temptation.
You do improv so well, so I don't understand why you keep wanting to prep. But today, then, we'll talk about three meetings of the full Chicago City Council that took place just before Independence Day. For two June meetings of the City Council, most aldermen attended in person, as did I, with a few there via video conference.
Wait, hold on. Time out on the playing field. This is breaking news that I was not aware of, as Dennis would say. You were actually in the City Council chambers? You yourself, you weren't watching on TV?
Correct.
Very good. Were you wearing a mask?
Unlike most aldermen, yes, I was wearing a mask. All members of the press corps who were there were masked. But I don't know how long that's going to hang on, because aldermen clearly, they're bending down over each other's desks and getting each other's faces. Nobody really seems to think that a mask is. In fact, I was in a couple, maybe you've experienced this too, in retail establishments. There are now signs going up and say, masks not needed for those who are vaccinated. You've seen that, haven't you?
I've seen signs like that, and we're on a tangent within a tangent. I generally wear my mask anyway. I just am a mask guy. I have a feeling we're going to get hit again with another wave of the pandemic. But when I'm curious. So you say the media, the reporters wear their masks, but the aldermen and the mayor do not wear their masks. Is it there a requirement that the reporters have to wear their masks, or are the reporters following some sort of social distancing guideline that they have created for themselves?
I suspect it's more the latter than the former, because I didn't see any indication, nor was I given any indication, that I had to wear a mask. But, just walking into the building, I had it on, and then when I got there, every other reporter was wearing theirs, and even running around the floor of the council after the meeting, there's usually this press scrum where, getting quotes and stuff. All the journalists had their masks on, talking to aldermen who didn't have masks on.
Wow, so bizarre. It's like the NBA playoffs. I'll just say this. A player plays without his mask, leaves the court, sits down on the bench, and puts a mask on. And they're socially distanced it's not even a bench. They're sitting in individual sections these days to protect against COVID. I'm like, why do you put the mask? What is what, are you more infectious when you're not playing the game? Whatever. Hey, tangent within a tangent. Continue.
It's like government officials, when they go to the lectern to speak, they're the only ones speaking and spewing aerosols, but they take their mask off. Everyone else should take their mask off. They should put their mask on.
Good point.
Anyway, there were a handful of aldermen who did have masks on, who were I could, off the top of my head, Scott Wagasbeck, Jeanette Taylor, a few others. And there were a few aldermen who were there via video conference, but it looks like that's going to persist for a while, where most of them will show up. Some will elect to stay away.
Okay.
So as I say, Dennis, please, we'll do defer first.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to talk about the June 23 meeting, which was the originally scheduled monthly meeting, which didn't go as planned. The expected drama, I think most people thought, would be around renaming the Outer Lakeshore Drive in honor of Jean-Baptiste Pointe-du-Sable. I've learned the French pronunciation, Du-Sable. That drama didn't materialize, but a different one did. And here's how it happened. After the usual public comments at the start of the meeting, Budget Committee Chair Alderman Pat Dowell began with her committee's first order of business. Let's listen.
Chair recognizes Chairman Dowell of the Budget Committee. The Committee on the Budget and Government Operations recommends approval of the appointment of Celia Meza as Corporation Counsel of the Department of Law.
The Chair recognizes Alderman Cardenas.
I'm proud to join this resolution in congratulating Celia Meza.
The Chair recognizes Alderman Lopez.
Thank you, Madam President, and good morning, colleagues. In light of everything going on with Ms. Anjanette Young, Alderman Taylor and I move to defer and publish this item. Thank you.
Alderman Villegas.
I'd ask my colleague to reconsider that motion, and let's take a look at working forward to I think we should reconsider that motion, too.
Chair recognizes Alderman Lopez.
According to our rules, motion to defer and publish is not debatable. Two members have called it. We must proceed.
Chair recognizes Alderman Maldonado.
As a Latino members of this body, I really would urge my dear friend, Alderman of the 15th Ward, to reconsider his motion. This is a very, very important nomination.
Chair recognizes Alderman Austin.
You're absolutely right. It is non-debatable, but I think this sets a precedent that shouldn't be. We should allow this individual to be seated.
Chair recognizes Alderman Taylor.
When do we stop playing the game of mistreating people in our community? So this ain't about that. And so I second Alderman Lopez. I'm not changing it.
Chair recognizes Alderman Dow.
I know that Alderman Taylor did not attend the meeting. Alderman Lopez, I believe you were there. This issue never came up. This was not a topic of discussion.
The Chair recognizes Alderman Raboyos.
I, too, would respectfully ask to defer this matter that you just brought up. We need to do some work in the city of Chicago, and we can't do it if we don't have the head of the Corporation Council with us.
Alderman Spezzato.
I motion to adjourn this meeting and reconvene on Friday at 11 o'clock.
Is there a second?
Second.
Your motion is to recess?
To recess, I'm sorry.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Laspada.
No.
No, no, sir. The roll call is starting. We will have the roll. No, sir. No, sir. I do not believe that that is correct. I do not believe that that's correct, sir.
No.
I'm ruling you out of order. A roll call vote is started.
That's fine.
I would like to correct you, sir. Rule 21 says that we can adjourn to a date certain, take a recess, or so forth. So Rule 21 allows for the motion that Alderman Spezzato has put. Council will stand at ease for 5 minutes.
So let me decode a couple things here. Alderman Dowell said that Alderman Jeanette Taylor of the 20th Ward didn't attend the meeting, and she was referring to a June 16 meeting of the Budget Committee, which had a confirmation hearing for Celia Meza as Mayor Lori Lightfoot's proposed Corporation Council, which at this meeting, the full City Council meeting, was the item that Alderman Lopez called to defer and publish or defer to the next scheduled meeting. So that was Alderman Dowell's way of saying, well, this should have come up at the Budget Committee meeting if you were going to spring this. And just for listeners' benefit, has been reported widely, Taylor and Lopez were using this maneuver to pressure the mayor's administration to move on a negotiation with Ms. Anjanette Young, the woman who was found to have wrongfully been raided by the Chicago Police Department, is in the midst of lawsuit settlements. And Taylor, in particular, believes that Ms. Young is getting the shaft by the administration. So that's the reason for this maneuver. Later on in that piece, we heard 38th Ward Alderman Nick Spezzato move to adjourn, which made sense from the mayor's standpoint. And shall I explain why?
Go ahead.
Well, if the mayor wants to get the council to vote on her appointment of Ms. Meza as the Corporation Counsel, the chief lawyer, the next possible time she could do it is at the next city council meeting. That's what the defer and publish motion means. The earliest, because of the State Open Meetings Act, that the city council could have another meeting is 48 hours, because state law requires 48 hours public notice for a public meeting. So Spezzato moving to adjourn made sense until she asked him if he meant recess instead of adjourn, and he said yes. And then we called for a vote on the motion. And then we heard Ninth Ward Alderman Anthony Beal in the background saying that if the council recesses, it's the same meeting. It's not a new meeting. So there can't be a vote. And so, you know, so finally the mayor, I guess, got it. And she hit pause. And that's what we heard at the end, that the council will stand at recess for a moment. So then it was a very interesting time, and I'll tell you what I saw. Immediately she went to huddle, the mayor went to huddle with the law department's, I call him the mayor whisperer. He's the law guy who's always sitting at the mayor's side during council meetings, Jeff Levine. Mm-hmm. And then she had a chat with Rules Committee Chair Alderman Michelle Harris. And then that's the point at which she famously motioned to the back of the room and went to the back of the room. And you know what happened next.
Yes. Are you done with your recitation? Because that was really well done. If there's anything more. Okay. Really well done, Dave. You earn every nickel that we pay you for this and more.
And more.
Yes, much more. That was well done. And so much. I just take delight in. By the way, we're going to have a discussion. I'm going to have a discussion upon our bonus with Maria Haddon, Alderwoman of the 49th Ward. I told Dave that I was going to remind people of this. So that conversation will come later. I'm going to play for her this clip, Dave, and get her to analyze it. It'll be fun to hear it because there's so much embedded in this about Chicago. And one thing that strikes me right away is that there are rules that govern the meeting. The Chicago City Council meeting, parliamentary rules that they're supposed to follow. And Maria Haddon has made the argument that if you don't follow the rules, it's disorder and there's no logic to it. And the mayor can do what she wants by just changing the rules and interpretations of the rules at all times. The mayor is very precise when it comes to the rules when she believes other people have broken them. And so when she believes other people have broken the rules, she says, you're out of order. You can't talk. The rules say specifically X, Y, Z. You know, in other words, rules are written in stone. When it comes to aldermen who make mistakes. But when the mayor makes a mistake, rules are written in sand. Oh, boy, my good friend Nikki Spezzato got it right. He wanted to adjourn the meeting. She said she got it wrong. She called for a recess. He being obliging as he is with the mayor. Nick, you're a little too obliging with the mayor. Just saying. Agreed to drop, switch, adjourn for recess, which was a mistake. Beal pounces. It's unbelievable. So you're either going to follow the rules or you don't follow the rules. Are you going to be forgiving when some people break a rule? And then hope that they'll be forgiving to you, you know, like you're playing pickup basketball and no harm, no foul. So someone just sort of slaps your wrist. You're going to call foul every time. This is just like this is so Chicago, Dave. Many times we've had discussions on our old podcast where we're talking about the bizarre Byzantine rules that govern placement on a ballot. And what candidates have to do to get on the ballot. And when a challenger makes a mistake in his petition or in his signatures to get on the ballot, the lawyers for the incumbent will go, he has violated the rules. These are the sacred rules that govern his process. How can you expect to be an effective legislator if you can't follow the rules? And then some hearing officer who is hoping that if he or she makes enough favorable rulings, he or she will get promoted to judge goes, I agree. And the guy gets kicked off the ballot. But then when the incumbent makes a mistake, that same lawyer goes, come on. It's just like he inverted a couple letters. Are you nitpicking?
And this is an artifact, as we've talked before, Ben, yes. About of having the presiding officer of the city council meeting happening to be the chief executive of the executive branch as opposed to one of the council's own people. Can you imagine how this whole thing would be different if it was one of the council members who was presiding over the meeting?
Absolutely. And it starts with a committee chair. the bizarre way we run the city council, the mayor effectively selects the committee chairs. So the committee chairs are all loyal to the mayor, and they feel tremendous conflict many times between the pressure that the mayor applies to them and what they want to do. We had Sue Sedlowski-Garza on the show last week, 10th Ward Alderman, an ally of Mayor Lightfoot, was appointed to head the labor committee. But she's also a Chicago Teachers Union member. She was for years a counselor at Jane Addams School on the south side of Chicago. And so she feels that pressure, that conflict, you know. So, yes, if it was a legitimate separation of government, the city council would name its own committee chairs. The city council would have, I don't know, who would they would appoint to run the meeting? President pro tem, I don't know. Somebody, they would appoint somebody to just run the meeting. The mayor, what would the mayor do? Would the mayor even be at meetings? I don't even know if the mayor has to be at a meeting.
Does President Biden go to meetings of the U.S. House of Representatives? You know, it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. But the whole point, the whole setup is intended to remind Chicagoans that the mayor is the most powerful person in the city. The mayor, like if you go to a city council meeting, the mayor's at the podium, the rostrum that overlooks the city council. She got that gavel. We heard her whacking that gavel. That's a good thing. That at the end, boom, boom. She wasn't even hitting it that hard. Man, Mayor, old man, Richard M. Daley would get so mad at Fioretti sometimes, get red in the face, be banging that gavel, mother, bang, bang. So she's over them. She looks down over them. She rules on who's in order and who's out of order and who gets to speak and who doesn't get to speak. She cuts off their mics. It's like that the whole thing is to reinforce in your mind, Chicagoans, how important and powerful the mayor is, because that's what you're taught to believe at your earliest age if you're a Chicagoan, that the mayor is at the center of the universe and everything revolves around the mayor. That's what you're taught, Chicagoans, and you believe it.
Here's a fun fact, Ben, that Richard M. Daley would sit at the rostrum during city council meetings. And when Rahm Emanuel became mayor, he opted to stand. You know, Rahm Emanuel's in really great shape, right? You know, he's a former dancer and he's a distance bicycle rider and swimmer and all that stuff. So he would stand throughout the entire meeting. which is a practice that Mayor Lightfoot has continued.
Oh, she stands as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's in great shape too. That's important. Chicagoans see their mayor standing. See how good shape a mayor is. Chicagoans take pride in their mayor. So that was classic. The different rules. I could do a whole, I've done it for the show. We've talked so much about the defer and publish on the show, Dave, and the selective ways it's used. So in that particular instance, Jeanette Taylor and tag team with Raymond Lopez to use it to stall Mayor Lightfoot's appointment. She's outraged. Just the meeting before, Mayor Lightfoot's allies use it to stall David Moore and Sophia King's proposal to change the name of Lakeshore Drive. So again, it's like selective outrage. They're outraged that you would do something like defer and not tell them. That's the other thing. Like Pat Dowell, you could have said at a previous meeting, you wouldn't even show up. Like Jeanette Taylor was on the show last week, Dave. She goes, why should I tell them my tactics? You know what I mean? Sir, we're going to protest, you know, your policy. So we're going to tell you what we're doing. So what? So you can undercut our protest?
Those used to getting their way aren't happy generally when it comes back at them, right? And we saw, you know, the thing that we haven't named here is what happened after that clip is Mayor Lightfoot went down to the back room and had a tete-a-tete with Alderman Taylor, where Alderman Taylor reports that Mayor Lightfoot said that she felt disrespected, and Alderman Taylor certainly felt the same thing. And they had like a minute and a half conversation, at which point Mayor Lightfoot shook her head and walked away and came back up to the rostrum. And I want to tell you what happened next, if I may.
Go ahead.
Dennis, please, we're going to do Holt next. So Mayor Lightfoot went back up to the front, and she talked for a couple of minutes with 26th Ward Alderman Roberto Maldonado, who is the chair of Latino Caucus. Then she talked again with Mr. Levine from the Corporation Council. Then she had a conversation with Public Safety Committee Chair Chris Taliaferro. And then another conversation with Levine, and then finally with Alderman Harris. Meanwhile, while this is going on, all the aldermen are just kind of like looking lost and like standing around, you know. Like. So finally,
Lightfoot, breathing on each other without their masks, looking lost and breathing on each other. Go ahead.
Finally, Lightfoot called the meeting back to order, and here's what happened.
Chair recognizes Chairman Taliaferro, Public Safety.
Reporting for your committee on public safety, for which a meeting was held on June 18, 2021. Item number one, the appointment of Annette Nance Holt as commissioner of the Chicago Fire Department.
Wait, how can they do that out of order?
Madam President, asking for the temporary suspension of the rules to report out as committee on public
safety. We were in the middle of a roll call vote.
Please don't yell out, folks. There's a motion to suspend the rules to take up the nomination of Annette Holt.
What about Is there a roll call? We started a roll call.
The roll call was suspended.
Roll call.
Alderman Burke.
Can't do that.
As you recall, we went into recess. There's a motion to suspend the rules to take up the nomination of Annette Holt. Hearing no objections, so ordered.
Hearing no objections. He wasn't hearing what we were hearing, evidently.
So it's priceless, man.
So it gets kind of surreal after that.
Wait, who said you can't do that? I couldn't. You don't know.
I believe that was Alderman. Jesus. Not Alderman Jesus. He's not in the council anymore. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just so funny. You can't do that. It was just like an honest, you know, just what? you're just making up the rules as you go along.
So, you know, what happened after that is the council launched into the process of confirming another mayoral appointment, namely that of Fire Commissioner Annette Nance Holt. Mm-hmm. And then they just, you know, after that initial outrage, the aldermen slipped into their usual routine where they stood up one by one and heaped praise on Ms. Holt. And the mayor's staff even trotted out three dignitaries to sit with Ms. Holt. And they were State Senator Jacqueline Collins, U.S. Representative Robin Kelly, and a third person who was a white guy from the South Side. I'm wondering if you can guess who he was.
A white guy from the South Side?
Been in the news a lot lately.
Oh, Father Flager.
It was Father Flager, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
Hey, by the way, been in the news lately? You take lately out of that sentence. He's in the news, Father Flager.
So that was kind of a wild thing that they went ahead and just proceeded with business. So that's all I've got to say about that.
Well, that was hilarious. And again, we will definitely be running that tape by that recording by Maria Haddon. And I just want to say this about the quote unquote conversation, very euphemistic way of describing, Dave, the exchange between Mayor Lori Lightfoot and Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor that took place at the bank. Too bad they didn't have that recorded. I have only what Jeanette Taylor's recollection of it. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has not felt compelled to go into specifics. And Jeanette Taylor was on the show, and you can listen to her rendition of what went down. But Lori Lightfoot really got in her face. And I thought she was very disrespectful, and she owes Jeanette Taylor an apology. But the essential point that Mayor Lightfoot was making is that it was rude and disrespectful for Jeanette Taylor to defer and publish and deny Celia Meza her opportunity to be immediately confirmed as Corporation Counsel, as opposed to making her wait 2 days. And I'll point out one more time that parliamentary maneuver of defer and publish was used by Mayor Lori Lightfoot in just the previous meeting. Didn't we talk about it, Dave? Didn't we talk about that? The previous meeting, maybe not, about deferring and publish on the matter of renaming Lakeshore Drive, where Sophia King had her hand in the air raised and ready to have a roll call.
I played that.
Yes, and Mayor Lightfoot instead somehow or other didn't see Sophia King and could only see Brian Hopkins. She only has eyes for Hopkins. And so it's like, come on, Mayor Lightfoot. Don't, you can't be outraged by things that other people do that are exactly the same as what you do. You know, then your outrage is just not real. It's just like, I'm the boss. I get to do whatever I want, even if what I do today contradicts what I do tomorrow, et cetera, and so forth. So just want to point that out. If you want to hear more, check out our interview with Jeanette, Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor. Back to you, Dave.
But wait, there's more of this saga.
Ooh.
Dennis, please, we're going to do adjourn next. So after the council confirmed Ms. Nance Holt and all the dignitaries that were with her exited, everyone not in the know was waiting. Like, what is the mayor's next move going to be? So here it is. Let's listen.
Alderman Spezzato.
I would like to withdraw my motion to adjourn.
The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
I provided an ordinance to the clerk setting the date and time of the next meeting of the city council.
Madam Clerk, please read the ordinance.
The next regular meeting of the city council on Friday, June 25th, 2021, beginning at 1 p.m.
Chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
There being no further business before the body, I move that we adjourn by the affirmative vote of all the members present for the roll call to determine quorum.
Chair recognizes Alderman Beal.
Madam President, we cannot adjourn this meeting because according to our rules of order, there were several Rule 41s that were posted that have to be addressed at this meeting.
Alderman Beal, I think you're incorrect. Pursuant to Rule 21, this motion is germane at any time, and I'm going to rule you out of order.
Rule 41.
The chair has ruled. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
There being no further business before the body, I move that we adjourn by the affirmative vote of all members present for the roll call to determine quorum.
I think we've got to take this step by step. Is your motion to seek approval of the ordinance to set the city council meeting for Friday? That is a pending motion. I ask for clarification. Alderman Burke?
Unless I've missed something, the alderman of the 8th Ward, the chairman of the Rules Committee, made a motion to adjourn. Alderman Beal made a motion to lay on the table. That is the motion that takes precedence, and it is not debatable.
One moment. Her motion to adjourn was premature. She's now moved to adopt the ordinance setting the new date and time for the next city council meeting.
I appeal the rule.
The motion was premature. I asked for clarification from the Rules Committee Chair. She's clarified that. Your appeal is denied.
Alderman
Burke, you've been in this body for very long. Standing up and yelling without seeking recognition is not something that's appropriate. I have ruled, you appealed the rule, the order, the ruling. I have considered your appeal and I've denied it. We're going to Alderman Harris. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
Are we going back to my original motion?
Yes, your original motion, which is to
set the date and time.
That's correct.
That meeting.
That's the motion that is pending, and we'll have a roll call on that. Madam Clerk.
Are we having a roll call on?
On what?
The ordinance to set the new date and time of the meeting.
Is that what?
Just the date and time? We're not adjourning the meeting?
We're not there yet, Alderman Beal. I've already said that.
I can't tell. 1 minute we're there, 1 minute we're there.
So we're having
right now is the motion on the floor.
Are we having a roll call to establish we're doing the date and the time of the meeting?
That's correct. So the motion that you'll be voting on, ladies and gentlemen, is a motion to set the new date and time of the meeting for Friday at 1 p.m. Madam Clerk.
Alderman LaSpada.
The motion simply to set the date and time, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Alderman Hopkins.
I vote aye.
Alderman King.
Yeah, come back to me.
I can't. The rules, if you're in the seat, I have to take the roll call.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of a roll call. Madam Clerk, please.
Alderman King.
Does this mean if you vote for this, that if we vote to adjourn, that would supersede it?
This is just to vote on the time and place of the date of the meeting, Friday at 1.
Adjournment is not before the body. The only motion that's before the body right now is setting a new date and time for the city council meeting. So please.
Alderman King? No? Okay.
There are 31 yeas. There are 18 nays. The motion passes. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
My motion is to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to lay that on the table?
Yes.
Alderman, Did you call?
Pursuant to Rule 21, the motion to adjourn takes precedence over a motion to lay on the table. There's a motion, pending motion to adjourn. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Let me tell you why this got so confused, I think.
Okay.
I think that the mayor had a conversation with Alderman Harris, the Rules Committee chair, and said, here's what I want you to do, Michelle. I want you to make a motion to set the date and time of the next meeting, which will be for Friday. We'll have a vote on that. It will presumably pass. Then we'll have a motion to adjourn this meeting so we can get the heck out of here and start over again. And that would presumably pass. So we heard Alderman Harris say the day, the time of the meeting, the next meeting, and then the next words out of her mouth were, so I moved, there being no further business, I move we adjourn. So she confused. She got confused. And that threw everything into disarray. You heard, you know, that was like the standing motion to adjourn. So that's why things got so crazy. Just a technical thing, Alderman Beal invoked Rule 41, which is a city council rule that says when after a committee has passed a motion during its regular meeting, the motion must be acted on at the next city council meeting. So he was saying, well, there were a bunch of things that committees passed that we should be voting on at this meeting. And I think from my reading of the rules that Mayor Lightfoot got him on a technicality, and that the rule says that the action is required after the committee reports to the council, which most of them did not because, we never got there.
I see. Is that Rule 21?
Rule 41.
No, Mayor Lightfoot kept talking about Rule 21.
Rule 21 is the order of precedence of motions, and it's a hierarchy. So if there is after the move to adjourn, Alderman Beal said, I move to lay that on the table. Well, the motion to adjourn takes precedence. Lay on table means we're going to vote on whether that previous motion should exist. Well, a motion to adjourn takes precedence before a motion to lay on the table. So that's Rule 21. So that's what Mayor Lightfoot was invoking. So the one I was just talking about was 41, which requires city council action on committee passed items. Anyway, when all was said and done, they passed the motion to set the date and time of the next meeting, and then they passed the motion to adjourn 27 to 22. It was a pretty close vote.
Very well done, Dave, by the way. And of course, then there's the all-important Rule 51, which stipulates that the mayor gets to do whatever she wants. That's a very important rule in the city council bylaws.
It's not on the website.
Rule 51. Good old 51. By the way, the funniest, but there were so many parts of that were funny. It made me laugh out loud, just the utter confusion of everybody, which I'm sure our listeners are equally as confused because it is confusing. And I don't believe anyone at any given time actually knew exactly where they were and what they were doing. Number one is somebody said, she clarified that. I was laughing. Many words I would use for that exchange. Clarification would not be one. Okay. I could not, even having listened to that debate and having heard Dave's excellent explanation of that debate, I don't think I could pass a test on what went down in that exchange. So the clarification thing, is very funny. And then just the utter certainty with which Mayor Lori Lightfoot utters things like, Rule 21 takes precedent over, like she knows what she's doing as opposed to randomly enforcing rules as they go. Another thing is poor Alderman Daniel Espot, a good friend of this show, comes on all the time. He's Dave interviews him as well. First Ward Alderman, rookie Alderman. The reason why I smiled is because he's the first guy that votes. So nobody, I would guarantee you that most aldermen at the very least are confused at this point, despite the assurance that everything has been clarified as to what they're voting on. And yet he has to make a decision, and it's 50-50. You're going to make the right decision, right? Because it's yes or no. And so he's like, how about a, you know what I mean? There's like no instruction. And then we heard Sophia King, who's, I think, well, no, was it Sophia King?
Four. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's, that was Sophia King. It was three aldermen later. She doesn't know what to, wait a minute, I need an explanation. And Lori Lightfoot's like, no, just vote. So, Danny LaSpada, you earned your money in that city council meeting by deciphering on your feet quickly exactly what the heck was going on. And yeah, utter confusion in the Chicago City Council. And it was brought on by the fact that Mayor Lori Lightfoot essentially threw a hissy fit because they deferred and published on the matter of Celia Meza. And as Dave said, they had a very legitimate reason for deferring and publish. They wanted to protest the way in which Mayor Lori Lightfoot and her law department has treated an Anjanette Young. And Mayor Lightfoot's attitude about that is that it's not the alderman's role to say how she or her law department treat Anjanette Young. It's beyond them. And they're merely going to be asked to approve whatever settlement Lori Lightfoot agrees to with Anjanette Young and her attorney, Dave Glowatz. Go ahead.
We would be remiss, Ben, if we also didn't point out that the other half of the reason for Taylor and Lopez to take that action, they said, was because the city has not moved quickly enough on implementing reform to their raid policy.
Yes, that's true. It's not just the settlement with Anjanette Young. It's the entire policy. The raid policy, of course, has to do with when do police use no-knock warrants? Which
arguably is even more in their purview.
Yes, I would say absolutely everything is in their purview. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we have a democracy in Chicago. We have an executive branch, the mayor, and a legislative branch, the Chicago City Council. The executive branch, through the law department, negotiates settlements. Then they turn to the legislative branch, your city council, and ask them to approve those settlements.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a moment. Negotiation with Ms. Young was currently in negotiation. It had not yet gone to the city council for approval. So if I was the mayor, I have a legitimate, I think, point in saying that negotiations on the part of the executive branch's law department are ongoing, and it's less in the city council's wheelhouse than this other point around public safety policy in terms of raids.
All right. Well, here I will now counter your weak attempt at devil's advocate. Dave loves doing devil's advocacy.
Let's skip the ad hominem attack.
To the left of me. Okay. You should hear the real Dave.
That was a good argument.
No, it was a good argument. Now, let me explain why I disagree with the point there. First of all, what Jeanette Taylor was doing, Jeanette came on the show and said this. She was openly acting as an advocate for Anjanette Young. So you're absolutely correct when you say that the city of Chicago, the law department, Mayor Lori Lightfoot's law department, was engaging in some hardball negotiations. And they were playing hardball with Anjanette Young. And they were trying to force Anjanette Young to take a settlement that was for less than what Anjanette Young wants to take. And Jeanette Taylor said she thought that was unfair to Anjanette Young and that the city should be far more accommodating to her. And so she was in part doing the defer and publish to put pressure on the city to be more generous in its settlement offer to Anjanette Young. Now, the mayor, if I can take the mayor's point of view, would say that she's the chief fiduciary overseer of the budget of the city of council and the city of Chicago. And her purpose in life is to make sure that settlements to injured parties are less because of it's less of a burden on the taxpayers. So that would be her argument that she would make. So she would say that Jeanette Taylor may be standing up for Anjanette Young as a victim of police abuse, but that she was actually hurting the taxpayers of Chicago, to which I'm sure Jeanette Taylor would say, oh, I would believe that you sincerely cared about the taxpayers of the city of Chicago if you fought, let's say, the Lincoln Yards TIF, as opposed to rolling over and allowing that deal to go through. So you know what I'm saying? It's complicated, give and take. But my main point is that when they're done with their negotiations, Mayor Lori Lightfoot will turn to the city council and seek their approval of whatever settlement they've reached. They won't ask the city council won't get an opportunity really to amend that deal.
Well, it'll go to the finance committee first. And if there's some haggling that needs to be done, it will happen within that committee before it gets to the full city council.
Well, either way, it's the city will be saying, this is the deal, approve it. And I
well, the finance moment, committee could not approve it, in which case then it's up to the law department to decide whether to revise the settlement or to take it to court.
Yes. And so I don't know when the last time the alderman, maybe you can remember the last time they rejected a settlement deal that the city reached.
It's been done.
I can't recall the last time, but I'll tell you this. The alderman took a lot of heat in 2015, subsequent to, so it probably would have been 2015 with the Laquan McDonald settlement. Because in that particular instance, the Mayor Rahm was the mayor, and his law department cut a deal with Laquan McDonald's family for a payout. I think it was $5 million.
Right.
This is before the video had been released. And so the aldermen were asked just to prove this. And in the aftermath, the alderman took the heat because the amount of money to the family was unfair. That I don't think that was the issue, or the amount was too much. The issue was that they were forced to approve the settlement without seeing all the terms of the without seeing all the details of the shooting. So they didn't really know what they were approving. So in its own little way, it's sort of like the parking meter deal. They were being asked to approve something in ignorance. And so when Jeanette Taylor and Raylo stood up and deferred and published in their own way, they were demanding a say in the process. They were using whatever influence they had, at the very least, to influence the process. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot was upset with that. I'm sure Rahm would have just blown up his mind at the thought that anybody tell him and his law department how to operate. So I can't imagine.
One of the differences is that Taylor and Lopez were operating from a position of knowledge as opposed to ignorance. When you say that, you know, during the Laquan McDonald settlement, or when the city council approved the McDonald settlement, the city council had no idea what had gone down here. Whereas with the Anjanette Young case, everybody knows what went on there. So that is a significant difference.
And another difference, to your point, another difference, Dave, is that the Chicago City Council is a different body in many ways, in its tone and tenor with the mayor than it was with Rahm and with Daley.
Just listen to those recordings.
Yes, there's much more independence, small I, just people willing to stand up to the mayor. They're not people who were elected on their promise and pledge not to be a rubber stamp. Jeanette Taylor ran. One of her platforms, one of her promises that she would just not routinely rubber stamp whatever decision the mayor said. Daniel Espada, first ward, we mentioned him. He did the same. Maria Haddon, 49th ward, she did the same. You know, it's just a whole new crew of characters in the Chicago City Council. And that is, they promised that they would speak up and use their platform to try to put a check on the mayor. So it's a different word, and the mayor's frustrated with that. That said, Dave, she won the motions that you, as you pointed out, she won the 31-8. It's so funny how they vote. Like 31-18 was the motion passed to set the date of the next meeting. Okay. But then it was just 27-22 to adjourn. Why would you vote to set the date of the next meeting and then vote not to adjourn? You know,
maybe some people got a little upset by the way things went down. Well,
they didn't know what they were voting on. There's always that.
Let's talk about an alderman who was not in that cadre you're talking about of independents who successfully bucked the mayor. If I may.
Go ahead.
Dennis, please, we'll do sign next. As we spoke about earlier, the subsequent meeting took place on Friday, June 25. And that meeting lasted 4.5 hours. And that meeting included the now famous or infamous Lakeshore Drive naming compromise. I won't say the whole name, but we know what it is, which passed 33-15. Also included in that meeting was a passage of something called the Shy Biz Strong Initiative, which is Motion number SO2021-2592A. And this is a package of law in which the Lightfoot administration proposed relaxing some business licensing and regulation rules and gives financial relief, the intent being that post-pandemic, many businesses are struggling and the administration wants to streamline the way that licensing and regulation happens. What we're going to hear is parts of the discussion around this ordinance, which starts with License and Consumer Protection Chair Alderman Emma Mitz. Let's listen.
Chairman Mitz.
An ordinance to amend the municipal code regarding licensing and other business-related regulation.
Alderman Riley.
There is one item in this ordinance that is objectionable to me, and I know several of my colleagues, and that's Article 7 that impacts our role in the approval of public right-of-way permits and outdoor cafes. All of the conversation was tied up with this 60 days that businesses are forced to wait until ordinance is passed to make these permits official. We could change the way we operate as a chamber and, as a matter of protocol, issue these permits to these businesses so long as the alderman has signed off, and then we can get around to passing that ordinance down the road. But then no one's waiting for it. While we also would then be preserving our role in the formal approval process, I'm moving per Rule 17 to divide the question and consider Article 7 separately from the rest of the ordinance. And I believe I have a second.
The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
To lay that motion on the table.
Roll call.
Just so we're clear, there will be a roll call. Alderman Riley has moved to separate out Article 7, which pertains to the right-of-way. Chairman Harris has moved to lay it on the table. So if you vote no, it's to proceed with Alderman Riley's motion. The yeas are 20, the nays are 29. The motion to lay it on the table fails. Alderman Lopez.
I can tell you that there's usually a two-month lag between the time my signature goes on a piece of paper, on an application, and given back to a business before BACP comes before this body with an ordinance. That is not 2 months of us foot dragging. That is 2 months of the bureaucratic process slowing things down.
Alderman Smith.
When you say you don't like a sign, it can't be just because you don't like it, because that's actually not even the rule of law. And the notion that we have unbridled power to turn down a sign for any reason or no reason at all is bad government. And that's kind of what the concern is here. In my experience, if you don't like a sign, you or your staff get on the phone with the guy with the application and says, we hate this sign. I did that with Target, in fact, when my community did not want brightly colored Target signs. We sat down with the business and they worked it out. The notion that this is somehow trampling on aldermanic power is really kind of mythical.
Alderman Ramirez-Rosa.
Our colleagues have asked us to divide this question under Rule 17. Rule 17 was put into our rules of order and procedure to allow for a fair and democratic debate, a collegial debate. And I believe it's the collegial thing to do, to vote yes, to allow this question to be divided, and to respect what our colleagues are telling us right now, which is that they like certain portions of this ordinance, but there are other portions that they have questions about, and they would like the opportunity to take each one of those up separately.
The votes are 25 yeas, 24 nays. The motion to divide the question succeeds. Alderman Mitz on Article 7.
I now move passage of Article 7 of the Shy Biz Ordinance.
The chair recognizes Alderman Lopez.
Alderman Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez and I move to defer and publish this item.
The item will be with deferred and published.
Ben.
Wow. Wow. I mean, just the legislative flurrying, the flurry of motions and rules. And Rule 17. To divide a question. We've learned more about the rules. I did not know about rules. I must confess.
There will be a test.
There will be a test. Now, I'm not a parliamentarian, so, you know, give me a little slack. But this gets back, of course, to the issue of aldermanic prerogative, which is a favorite topic on this show. We've had it many times with Dave, as a matter of fact. And Alderman Brendan Riley of the 42nd Ward in the Gold Coast was standing up for the right of the alderman to basically have the veto over all matters that occur in their ward, small to large, zoning matters that affect whether you could build a high rise or whether cafe permits that enable you to have an outdoor cafe, or like whether you have an overhanging sign, you know, the size of the sign, the look of the sign, et cetera, and so forth. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot, of course, campaigned on eradicating aldermanic prerogative on the grounds that it gave too much power and authority to aldermen and led to corruption, which is an interesting concept to think that corruption only happens in Chicago because of aldermen and because of aldermanic prerogative. As Dave knows, we've had this debate. I side with Brendan Riley on this one. I do believe the aldermen. What's the whole point of having aldermen is to have sort of like a local control and over matters like zoning, et cetera, and so forth. And if your alderman continually acts against the self-interest of what citizens think is in their best interest, they can vote them out. But if you turn the power over to the bureaucrats, you have no say. And anybody who's dealt with City Hall, well, I shouldn't say this because I know some people who've met some really helpful bureaucrats, but more often than not, when you go to deal with City Hall, you're dealing with a nameless, faceless bureaucrat, and good luck. And so I'm with Riley on this one.
And he makes a good point, I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, that the city council and the administration could provisionally give someone the permit for a sign or for an outdoor cafe after the alderman signs off, and then retroactively pass the ordinance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because Michelle Smith, who is the alderwoman from the 43rd Ward, and she was quoted, that was Michelle Smith, correct?
Yes.
That's Lincoln Park, one of the wealthiest wards in the city. She's an ally of Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And so she was arguing against aldermanic prerogative, and as evidence to support her argument against aldermanic prerogative, she was showing how aldermanic prerogative works. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, she was kind of filibustering. She spoke for 10 minutes. And that is the maximum allowed time, according to the rules. But nobody else spoke for 10 minutes. And she wasn't there. She was via video conference. And while she was talking, I don't think many people were, in fact, people were wandering and talking to each other. And finally, at the end, the mayor had to intervene and said, Alderman Smith, you know.
yeah, enough bootlicking for one day, Alderman Smith.
She was really, she was committed to this one. It was very interesting.
So, yeah, I may run that past Maria Haddon as well, just to talk about the lay it on the table. What a lay it on the table. No, that is a concept that, it's just has so many very suggestive
It just means I don't like that motion and I want to kick it out.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a hierarchy. And there's only a couple motions that cannot be laid on the table. One is to adjourn.
So, okay. We've learned a lot of parliamentary rules today. What's our final clip?
Let's get away from these technicalities and go to policy, which is, you know, kind of where I like to gravitate to. Dennis, please, we're going to do cops next. So, after these two marathon meetings at the end of June, the following week, 19 aldermen were able to force a third.
Huh. Well, that was interesting. The meeting has ended. Hang tight, everybody. I'm going to grab Dave Glowatz and Ben, and we'll be right back. It's the Ben Jarofsky Show. And we are back. Ben, I don't know what the hell happened there. I don't know what ended. Happened.
Dave Glowatz told me when I just talked to him on the phone that we're going to end it there and go back to cops another time. And he said, I know. we gave people quite a bit of city council highlights. Those four highlights were a very informative and helpful understanding of how the city council works and how the mayor controls the city council and how there's the aldermen are finally punching back. So I want to thank Dave Glowatt's outstanding job, as he always does. Inside Chicago Government is the name of the publication, his online publication, and he keeps track of what goes on in the city council. And if you want to see his tips on bicycling in the city of Chicago, Mr. Bike, he does that as well. Very busy guy, Dave Glowatt, and it's very generous of him to dedicate so much time every month to help us out with the city council. So thank you, Dave Glowatt. Also want to give a shout out to the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Illinois, all in Illinois, without whom this show would be possible. And you know what he's going to do, folks? As soon as this show's over, he's going to start getting ready for tomorrow. Oh, what a week it was. Oh, yeah. He's getting ready. Right now, he's like reading articles and getting clips and sound bites and interviewing Governor Pritzker, all kinds of things for tomorrow's show. So as Dave Glowatz will tell you, as Jeanette Taylor will tell you, and as Mayor Lightfoot will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Alderman Spezzato.
I would like to withdraw my motion to adjourn.
The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
I provided an ordinance to the clerk setting the date and time of the next meeting of the city council.
Madam Clerk, please read the ordinance.
The next regular meeting of the city council is on Friday, June 25th, 2021, beginning at 1 p.m.
Chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
There being no further business before the body, I move that we adjourn by the affirmative vote of all the members present for the roll call to determine quorum.
Chair recognizes Alderman Beal.
Madam President, we cannot adjourn this meeting because according to our rules of order, there were several Rule 41s that were posted that have to be addressed at this meeting.
Alderman Beal, I think you're incorrect. Pursuant to Rule 21, this motion is germane at any time, and I'm going to rule you out of order.
Rule 41.
The chair has ruled. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
There being no further business before the body, I move that we adjourn by the affirmative vote of all members present for the roll call to determine quorum.
I think we've got to take this step by step. Is your motion to seek approval of the ordinance to set the city council meeting for Friday? That is the pending motion.
Yeah.
I ask for clarification. Alderman Burke?
Unless I've missed something, the alderman of the 8th Ward, the chairman of the Rules Committee, made a motion to adjourn. Alderman Beal made a motion to lay on the table. That is the motion that takes precedence, and it is not debatable.
One moment. Her motion to adjourn was premature. She's now moved to adopt the ordinance setting the new date and time for the next city council meeting.
I appeal the rules.
The motion was premature. I asked for clarification from the Rules Committee Chair. She's clarified that. Your appeal is denied.
Alderman
Burke, you've been in this body for very long. Standing up and yelling without seeking recognition is not something that's appropriate. I have ruled, you appealed the rule, the order, the ruling. I have considered your appeal and I've denied it. We're going to Alderman Harris. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
Are we going back to my original motion?
Yes, your original motion, which is to
set the date and time.
That's correct.
Meeting.
That's the motion that is pending, and we'll have a roll call on that. Madam Clerk.
Are we having a roll call on?
On what?
The ordinance to set the new date and time of the meeting.
Is that
just the date and time? We're not adjourning the meeting?
We're not there yet, Alderman Beal. I've already said that.
Well, I can't tell. One minute we're there, one minute we ain't.
So we're having
right now is the motion on the floor.
Are we having a roll call to establish we're doing the date and the time of the meeting?
That's correct. So the motion that you'll be voting on, ladies and gentlemen, is a motion to set the new date and time of the meeting for Friday at 1 p.m. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Laspada.
The motion simply to set the date and time, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Alderman Hopkins.
I vote aye.
Alderman King.
Yeah, come back to me.
I can't. The rules, if you're in the seat, I have to take the roll call.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of a roll call. Madam Clerk, please.
Alderman King.
Does this mean if you vote for this, that if we vote to adjourn, that that would supersede it?
This is just to vote on the time and place of the date of the meeting, Friday at 1.
Adjournment is not before the body. The only motion that's before the body right now is setting a new date and time for the city council meeting. So please.
Alderman King? No? Okay.
There are 31 yeas. There are 18 nays. The motion passes. The chair recognizes Alderman Harris.
My motion is to adjourn this meeting.
The motion to lay that on the table?
Yes.
Alderman, did you call?
Pursuant to Rule 21, the motion to adjourn takes precedence over a motion to lay on the table. There's a motion, pending motion to adjourn. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.